Hey folks, welcome to episode 4 of Wrestling Now with the Legend. I'm your host, the Legend T. James Logan. Today we got to talk to international Canadian superstar Mentolo. Mentolo, one of the only Triple Crown champions of RCW, managed to have the Commonwealth title, the heavyweight title, and the tag team title. You know, in its current incarnation, he is the only Triple Crown champion. We got a chance to sit and talk with him. We talked a little bit about New Japan Wrestling, stuff he's liking there. We talked about NXT. We talked a bit of WWF. That's right. I said F, not E. We're talking some old stuff. We talked about wrestling, the love of wrestling. We talked about some indie. And we got the chance to answer a few questions like, where does the name Mentolo come from? What is the Zombie Hunter all about? And I got to ask a few definitely offbeat questions about Resident Evil and some other things. So strap in, sit back, and enjoy the next hour. Sit and talk with Mentolo. And you know what? Anyone who wonders how nice of a guy Mentolo really is, at the end of this interview, I foolishly referred to him as your current Commonwealth RCW heavyweight champion, when in fact he did lose that belt to Cobra Kai just a scant weeks back. I was even there and saw the match, so silly me. But you know what? Mentolo was nice enough to not to say anything at the time. And then at the end of the interview, he said, hey, you know, Legend, I lost that belt. And I was like, oh. But anyways, you know what? Fun guy. I want you people to... A lot of people have been asking me, what's he like? What's he about? Well, this is your chance to get a bit to know about him. Fabulous wrestler, fabulous guy. Send in questions to him or me if you got more, all right? So here's Mentolo.
Hey, fans. On today's edition of Wrestling Now, I have a definitely a man of mystery is what I'm going to call him. I'd like to welcome you to the show, Mentolo.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, you know what? I may call you a man of mystery, but you have definitely been all over the place last year, especially in RCW, where you were definitely a Triple Crown winner of sorts.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of fans kind of miss out on that, but, you know, I was, you know, the first... They say that I was the first person to capture all three titles. That's still... I'm still waiting for you to let me know if that is true or not.
Well, you know what? It is true, and it's not.
Okay.
After a little bit of research... It is true in the current state of the titles, you are the Triple Crown champion.
Right.
However, before there was the Commonwealth title, it had a different name. And under that, there was two other wrestlers who held all three belts, including that one.
Okay, so let's do a little bit of trivia here. Maybe you can let us know what the belt was called and who are the other two wrestlers.
Okay, I believe it was the light heavyweight belt. I might be wrong.
Okay.
And the other two wrestlers were Slammer and somebody sent me this one. You know, I sent out to my contacts, and I'm looking up right now. My contacts, I sent that out to anybody asking about just that question. And somebody got back to me and said, you know what? Currently, under the current thing, like I said, under the Commonwealth title, there has not been a person who's captured all three titles. However... when it was a different title, there was. And I'm going to look that up right now. But as I'm looking, first of all, one of the questions that I've always, you know, I've never ever asked you. What is the impetus for Mentolo? Where did that name come from? How did you come up with the name Mentolo?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I was doing a lot of work, a lot of wrestling for Tony Condello. And I started... doing a lot of his tours and stuff like that, and a lot of the time he always wanted to bill me as being from Mexico or Latin America or something, you know, to that effect. And so I needed a name that was sort of fitting of like a Lucha Libre sort of sound. And so I started going through back in the 80s. They used to have these comic books called A through Z for Marvel Universe.
Yes, that's right. I remember those. I had a couple.
And so they also had issues where it covered the dead characters.
That's right. That was one of the funnest ones.
And so I was going through, looking at, like, oh, just different character names to see if there was anything that, you know, I could kind of combine or put together. And I came across the character Mentolo.
Ah.
And I noticed that, you know, he had been dead for quite a while, and, you know, he was a villain of the X-Men, and I thought, you know, this has a good sort of, you know, Mexican sound to it. And from there, I figured he's dead, and he doesn't need his name anymore, so I took it.
Well, you know what? I hate to admit how much of a nerd I am, but I was actually going to say before you said it, I was going to say, wasn't he an old X-Men enemy?
Absolutely, yes.
Now, you know what? I did find that information. Apparently, the title before was called the mid-heavyweight title.
Okay.
And the only two people to capture all three were Slammer and Andrew Hawks.
Oh, Andrew Hawks, okay.
Yeah, and however, Mentolo was the first to do it after it had been named the Commonwealth title.
I was going to guess Cam Causey, because I know he held quite a few titles in RCW for a while.
I do believe so, but I believe Cam never held the heavyweight title itself.
Oh, okay.
I think that
okay.
was the one that's always eluded him.
Right.
Now, you know what? I've gotten to know you in the last couple of years, and I know fans are just starting to get to know you. You are a quieter type guy, and a lot of people aren't sure how to approach you, but I want to tell people just how much of a love of wrestling you are. You're definitely a lover of wrestling.
I am, absolutely. I'm still very much a fan, just like everybody else, you know, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, you know, because that's how you start off, is being a fan of whatever it is, right?
Now, what got you into wrestling? What drew you in?
You know, whenever I was a kid, my family, we watched wrestling. Like, my early, you know, memories of wrestling was watching AWA with my brother and my father and my mom. And, you know, we would go to the arena and watch AWA there. And, you know, so that's kind of how I just kind of grew up on wrestling.
Well, you know what? What you just said warms my heart, because so many wrestlers, we always talk about the wrestling they started with, and they all look at me like I've grown a third eye, because I'm from Alberta, where I was raised, yet AWA Wrestling, which I managed to get from, I believe it was from Winnipeg, actually, and
right.
got it on TSN every Saturday morning, and that was what I grew up watching with the Road Warriors and Greg Gagne and stuff like that. And most people look at me and like, don't you mean WWE? No. I mean WWF? No. You know, to me, at that time when AWA was on, there was AWA, Stampede Wrestling, and there was WWF. And at that time, the WWF that we got was so boring. It was from Maple Leaf Garden. I think it was called Maple Leaf Wrestling.
That's right, Maple Leaf Wrestling, yeah.
And basically, it was basically, and I don't want to be insulting with this term to wrestlers out there, but basically it was names versus jobbers on every match.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to get into wrestling when all you see is some guy beating some guy unmercifully for 4 minutes.
Well, you know, you make a good point. Absolutely, yeah.
But, yes, AWA, that's awesome. Okay, so now a lot of people don't know this. Like, they see you, and you've been coming in more and more to Alberta, but you are very well traveled. I mean, you've gone to Japan numerous times.
I have, yeah.
How many tours have you competed on in Japan?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. Because I started going in 2010, and I was almost going every month. Like, I would fly in, I would do a show for Smash, and then I'd fly out. But in 2012, I did end up staying there for 5 weeks, you know, and I competed for Tajiri's promotion, Smash, Taka Michinoku's promotion, K-Dojo. I competed for Tenru's promotion, what was it called again? It wasn't War, it was, oh, Tenru Project.
Mm-hmm.
And I competed for a women's promotion called Ice Ribbon.
Oh, I've heard of Ice Ribbon, yes.
Mm-hmm.
How did you compete for a women's, how did you compete for Ice Ribbon? How did that work out?
You know, they were doing, like, obviously, the mixed tags, and then I did a show for them in Corcoran Hall, which was kind of billed as, like, a softcore match where, you know, we had, like, fun weapons to use, like maybe children's toys or skateboards and various things like that. But I was very fortunate that Tajiri, you know, while I was there, helped me out and, you know, helped me to get several different bookings.
Now, how did you initially, what was the first, like, how did you get to Japan? And I don't mean fly, but, like, did you just show up and ask to go to a promotion? Did somebody see you and say, hey, come on in? How did you get there?
What happened was Andy Anderson, who, I mean, people in Alberta will be very familiar with.
The Lone Wolf, Andy Anderson? Yes.
Yeah, he worked with Tajiri while they were in Puerto Rico, you know, together and stuff like that. And so Tajiri contacted him and said, you know, they're looking for something different. They're looking to do something different in Japan. They don't want to go the route of using Americans. They want to try something new and use some Canadians. And so there were a couple guys on Andy's list, and, you know, I was one of the guys. He sent over my stuff and asked Tajiri what he thought, and, you know, sent my matches and pictures and those type of things. And, you know, Tajiri was all for it. And then I was fortunate enough, Andy got me booked with Smash, but then Tajiri came over here, and I was able to wrestle him in Winnipeg. We had a singles match, and then I was able to do a tag match against him. So he was kind of able, you know, to kind of test drive the car before he bought it, so to speak.
Oh, excellent. And from there, your work just kept speaking for itself, obviously. You know, going to other promotions, obviously. People in Japan had seen you and booked you on their promotions.
Absolutely, yes.
Now, is that still something that's really regular for you in your life right now? Are you still doing trips to Japan frequently, or have you dialed it back a bit? Or
no, unfortunately, the promotion I was working for closed down. A bit of you know, stuff inside the office. Mm-hmm. You know, different thoughts of how the promotion should be ran, and that sort of led to its demise. So I haven't been back since 2012.
Wow. Must be getting a little bit itchy.
Absolutely. I'd love to go back because I had a great time there. It's really, you almost feel like you're entering a different world. You know, I haven't felt like that since I first got satellite. When I first got satellite, I was like, oh my God, these different channels and these different programs and, you know, things I hadn't seen and wrestling from other places. And I was like, this feels like you're in a different world. And Japan and Mexico, when you get off the plane and, you know, you're in there, you're in the airport and stuff, you really feel like you're in a different world.
Well, you know what? I know we've talked a bit about what wrestling you watch a lot lately, and you've told me that obviously Japanese wrestling is dear to your heart, and I do believe you watch a lot of New Japan wrestling.
I am, yes. I'm currently watching the New Beginning in Osaka, which I think it happened maybe February 9th or 8th or something like that.
It was very, and you know what? That's funny you say that, because I just finished watching all of that the other night, because I didn't want to look totally stupid by not being somewhat familiar with what's going on.
So, absolutely.
Let's talk New Japan. Like, now, as I was watching, definitely Japanese style of wrestling is quite a bit different from American style.
Yes, it sure is.
And within it, there's also, I notice, subcultures of a difference, too. And what I'm getting at is, you know, I looked at matches with AJ Styles versus Tanahashi, and I looked at stuff with the Bullet Club. But then I seen this match with, I believe it was Shibata versus Ishii.
Ishii, yep.
And that was totally something different in itself.
I just watched that match last night. It was sick.
Yeah, now, that isn't the kind of wrestling that is the most common in Japan. I mean, it's there. But it in itself, I mean, is that, would you fair to say it's sort of a hardcore version of what the mainstream Japanese wrestling is?
Well, what I would say was that's sort of a throwback to how wrestling was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And even the 80s, because there was a big time where there was a split where a lot of wrestlers left New Japan to do a more shoot wrestling type style, where with a lot of like kicks and punches and, mm-hmm. you know, maybe not a lot of like whipping into the ropes and stuff like that. It was very more, you know, amateur wrestling and strike based. And then you had All Japan, which was doing a very physical style, lots of really strong strikes and elbows and stuff like that. So that match was very much like a throwback to those different times. Mm-hmm. What's happening now in Japan, though, is that WWE, obviously, they're sort of the leader in the world and sort of dictate what is popular. And a lot of the Japanese style is starting to become very sports entertainment or lots of flash, more entertainment-based. But you will get you know, these throwback matches to the time, you know, of past.
Now, have you been in that type of match?
I've been in matches like that where there have been elements of it, but not...
Not to that degree.
Not full-blown, yeah.
Because, like, I'm watching that match, and there was a few times I swear those guys almost knocked each other out.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I don't know if you remember, Ishii's mouth was bleeding. And,
yeah.
You know, like, it was just crazy. The strikes and, you know, the heart that those guys have is incredible.
And it's, for fans who are wondering exactly what we're talking about, this style of wrestling isn't the flash you see. It isn't bouncing off the ropes. It isn't, I mean, there's sometimes a bit of that. But basically, it's two guys standing there and clubbing the crap out of each other till they knock each other down.
And it's very much like the complete opposite of the Young Bucks. It's probably more similar to UFC or something like that.
Yeah, and I noticed that not only are these extremely stiff, powerful blows, but, and maybe you can explain this, because I always have a hard time trying to explain what this means. I think I understand. It falls into this thing that the Japanese call the fighting spirit. And it has to do with, I mean, many times in that match, they took turns, like, sitting down and going, go ahead, kick me. You kick me harder. You hit me first, and I'll hit you back. And it's, I guess what I wonder about that is, we all know that sometimes, well, you know, wrestling knows where it's going. But, I mean, when you're doing that sort of thing, they're not holding back, are they?
No, absolutely. You know, it's very much similar to, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Bloodsport, but there's one part in the end where Van Damme is fighting Bolo, and they're both exchanging kicks to each other's ribs, and it is very much like a match of wills, like, who is going to give up first?
Right. I guess that's what I was trying to get at. Yeah, there's that whole, you know, we'll stand there, and I'll, you know, even, and I guess the tougher thing is to, I'll let you go first. You kick me first. And then, you know, I'll punch you, and we'll keep going until one of us falters.
Absolutely.
Wow, that is, listening to it sounds almost crazy, because I'm not a big fan of UFC, to be honest. I don't really like that sort of stuff. But I found myself very much just mesmerized by that match, and I could not believe the intensity and the physicalness of it.
And you know what, wrestling is really the only sport where you would see something like that. You know what I mean? Like, go ahead and give me your best shot. And you know what? And here, I'll take your best shot. And let's see who will stand. Sometimes when you go out to, like, with bars, maybe some bars or underground bars, you'll see, like, slapping contests. Like, who can take the hardest slap?
Yes.
Like, it's very, very much, like, similar to that.
Now, is there any wrestlers that you currently know, like, in Canada that have that kind of... that even do stuff like this?
You know what? Not to my knowledge. I
can't think of any myself.
I mean, Kenny Omega wrestles over there, but I wouldn't say he does that type of style.
No. And what you said about the flash of, like, WWE, that can explain much of the stuff of, like, the Bullet Club. And the kind of stuff that they do. Let's talk a little bit then about some of these wrestlers, some of the big wrestlers in New Japan, and what you find their strengths, and would you be interested in ever matching up with them?
Absolutely.
Okay, obviously we'll have to talk about Tanahashi, one of the most popular guys in New Japan, one of the biggest faces.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now tell
and
me...
He's very much influenced by... WWE, you know, he's come out and said that he's influenced by Shawn Michaels. So I think he really gets the North American style, and he understands that, you know, there has to be a certain aspect of entertainment in his matches.
Now, is he a guy that you would ever want to, at his stage in his career now, is he a guy that you would that be a dream match for you, or would you rather him at a younger age?
You know what, I wouldn't turn down the opportunity to work with him. I wouldn't necessarily say he's a dream match for me, just because, you know, when I was coming up, he wasn't wrestling, you know? But, he's definitely one of the best in the world.
All right. Now, you mentioned Kenny Omega, who's really been making some giant strides in the last month within New Japan. I mean, he jumped a whole weight division and then has gone to the top. of that division.
Uh-huh.
And I know we've got an opportunity to see him here even in RCW. However, I don't think we got to see him to the extent of what he does in Japan.
I don't think so either. And you know what's really a shame is that the Bullet Club is extremely hot, and it would have been nice to see more fans come out, because I know that there's probably a ton of fans in Alberta who know about the Bullet Club or like them, but maybe they just didn't know about it, or you know, there was just something there preventing them. But hopefully, RCW will have him back. Since he is Canadian, it would be a little bit easier for them to get him at least.
Well, I think the problem was just timing.
Mm-hmm.
At the point that he had come to Canada here, yes, he had joined the Bullet Club, but they hadn't been using him a lot. He'd been like only a couple matches here and there, and he wasn't a key figure as he's become now.
That's right. I think AJ Styles leaving, like, it hurt New Japan, but in a sense has really helped Kenny.
Oh, yes.
It's really pushed him into, you know, being the main foreigner over there.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at this guy, the Shibata guy, and he just looks like he looks like he would be like a flashy face wrestler, but then when he comes out, man, he just kicks the crap out of people.
Absolutely, yeah. I believe he's got like a kickboxing background, and he has done some fights and stuff like that, so definitely not a guy you want to mess around with at all.
Now, is that the kind of match you'd be interested in matching up with a guy like that?
I think I'd probably take Tanahashi over Shibata.
I think anybody with a brain would take Tanahashi.
Absolutely. I did wrestle Ishii, though. I wrestled mm-hmm. Ishii when I was in Tenryu Project. We did a six-man tag against each other.
Oh. And how was he to work with?
He was very, very much like you see on TV. The mm-hmm. strikes were very stiff. The forearms were very stiff. The next day when you're trying to eat, your jaw's kind of out of place. So it was definitely very rough.
Now, of all the people that you're watching currently in New Japan, who is the one guy that you're enjoying the most? And why?
Oh, wow. I was really enjoying AJ while he was there.
Yeah.
I really enjoy Okada. I enjoy Tanahashi. I enjoy Kenny. Those are the kind of guys that stand out. I really enjoyed Nakamura while he was there. I enjoy mm-hmm. Hanma.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy Ishii, Shibata. You know,
yep.
A good portion of the guys I enjoy.
Not Captain New Japan? No, I'm just.
I can't say I'm a huge fan of his, but you know, I do appreciate he has some comical value, you know, which is always good on a card.
And in all fairness, you are over 10 years old.
Absolutely, yes. I enjoy Liger too. I really enjoy Liger. I had an opportunity to wrestle him, which would be one of my idols, so mm-hmm. I enjoy watching his work.
You know, as I've been watching a lot of New Japan in the last year, I really like Okada. I really enjoy what this guy brings to the table.
You know, I expected Tanahashi or Okada to be the guys first to go to WWE. I didn't see Nakamura, like, especially based on his style.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought Okada and Tanahashi would be the guys to go.
Now, you know what? You just picked up a great segue, because this question I was going to ask you, and I was trying to figure out along the lines of how to ask you, but you've seen the way Nakamura fights.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how the WWE has, the way the matches work there.
Yep.
How much of an adjustment is he going to have to make? And is it going to be a tough adjustment to fit into what WWE expects in wrestlers? Because they do have kind of a mold that they expect people to stay with it.
I think in NXT, it'll be a little bit easier for him, because he'll be wrestling, say, guys like Prince Devitt, or La Sombra's there, who he's worked with. But I think once he gets to the main roster, if he does make it there, that'll sort of be where the big change will have to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Because certain guys, like, let's say when the original Mystico was there, Sin Cara,
yeah.
A lot of guys don't know Lucha Libre.
Right.
So it made things very difficult for him. And, people like to blame him, but the fact is that they just didn't have guys who could work with him and do the things that he could do.
Do you think he got an unfair deal?
I think his, like, it's partly his fault because he probably didn't learn to speak English very well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a bigger problem for the WWE because they didn't have guys who know lucha. Like, for instance, Daniel Bryan, you know, he wrestled a couple matches in Mexico, but that's not necessarily knowing lucha. You know, that just means you came down and, you know, did a couple things and maybe they worked around you. But Mystico's whole thing is, you know, guys have to be able to take his stuff. You know, so it's sort of unfair to blame him when you don't bring anyone in for him to kind of work with.
Well, you know what? That's a really good point because I was a big fan of CMLL wrestling, and I remember watching Mystico a lot, and I really enjoyed what he did. And I did realize, after watching it a lot, you do realize the big differences in the style of wrestling.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I got that the WWE, they signed the biggest name in Mexico and they brought him in. And, you know, my first thought, too, is like, when I, you know, I watch a lot of wrestling and I'm thinking, how is, what he does isn't what they do. And how is that going to work?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he turned out to be the, you know, WWE, a lot of people will say he's one of the biggest busts that the WWE had just because of such hope they had for him. And such money they paid out and hype they gave him. But I think they kind of did him a disservice by not adjusting him, I think is the best way.
Right.
Because I think it would be unfair. It would be like, you know, you're a wrestler and you're big in Japan and we're going to bring in Mentolo to join our soccer team.
Exactly.
What? Yeah, he's a big name, but that doesn't mean he's doing the same skill set that the people around him are doing.
That's right.
So, and, yeah, you know, I've always been, you know, and I'm glad. Like, a lot of people are groan about NXT and how most people are having to go through NXT. But you know what? I think if Sin Cara had gone through NXT for just even maybe 6 months, I don't think he would have been such a bust as he turned out to be.
Absolutely. And you know what, though? Like, say, you remember ECW, Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
When he first brought in Rey Mysterio, he made sure to bring in Hoovy, Psychosis, Conan with him.
Mm-hmm.
And when WCW started their cruiserweight stuff, you know, they made sure to bring in, you know, all those guys, and La Parca, and Ciclope, and, you know, Damian, and, you know, they made sure to bring in a lot of other guys that they could have good matches with.
Right, so it would make sense.
Exactly.
Well, you know what, getting back to Nakamura, do you see him, do you think he's going to work out? Is he going to make, do you think, I don't know, like, this is a horrible thing to say or to contemplate, but he is very different style from what the WWE currently does.
Absolutely.
Do you think, if or when he makes it to the main roster, do you think he's going to be something, or are they going to turn him into, you know, R-Truth's dancing buddy, or somebody's butler, or, I don't know.
I think they'll water him down. One thing that seems to work for him is that he seems to be very into American pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he does have a different type of charisma about him, which could help. It could help him stand out. But it'll be interesting to see, like, say they have Kana there as Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be kind of interesting to see if they can sort of maybe make him the male counterpart of her where, you know, he can be like a tough guy.
Yeah.
And not really have to say as much, but, you know, and they can start working on his English with him.
Now, have you been following NXT?
Very, very loosely.
Okay. So obviously there's the people that you kind of pick and watch, who you enjoy.
That's right, yeah.
And who in that product is someone that you really enjoy watching?
I really like watching Asuka stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, she is the one that sort of interests me the most because I know a lot of those girls on NXT, or even some of them in the WWE, they're not on her level.
Right.
So I'm kind of curious as to how she'll work with them.
Exactly. I think one of the things I find amazing about her is her transitions into holds.
Absolutely.
Like, nobody does what she's doing right now, and it's so unique and such a cool thing to see.
Absolutely.
So I'm sort of
looking forward to seeing what they're doing with her, and then I'm sort of waiting to see what will happen with La Sombra once they start using him more often.
Very exciting stuff. For fans who don't know, tell us a little bit about La Sombra. Now, I know him, but, I mean, what have you seen about La Sombra?
Like as far as his stuff in Mexico?
Like just if I'm the casual indie fan listening to this thing and I've never heard of La Sombra, why should I be interested?
He was probably Mexico's next big talent. He just recently lost his mask to Atlantis at their anniversary show, and he's very much their future. So, you know, it was a very smart play by WWE grabbing, you know, the top talent from Mexico, as they're kind of doing. Sort of seems like what they're doing everywhere else is taking all the top guys and bringing them to NXT to make it like the superior indie. But you know, he's very young. He's got a good physique. He's got great high flying moves. You know. And if he can figure out English, I'm sure they'll make him into the next, you know, Latino star. I'm sure he's got a higher upside than Del Rio and Sin Cara.
Okay. What about the little guy? You were talking like Sin Cara, but you weren't talking his tag team partner, were you? The little guy, Del Sol? No. That was his...
Oh, yeah. Kalisto or whatever. I think that just based on size, that La Sombra, there's a higher upside to him as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, plus there's also the fact that Kalisto really isn't even Mexican.
That's right, yeah, he's American, right?
Yeah, I've even met this guy. He's a really nice guy, but it's kind of hard to sell him as the next Latin superstar when he's not Latin.
Exactly.
But, now one of the things that I've known about you, and anyone who has you on Facebook has noticed... You may not post a lot, but when you post, it seems to be a lot of stuff about WWF.
Yes.
Old school wrestling.
Absolutely.
First of all, why do you always post what those were about?
It kind of gives people a sort of look in to see what I'm doing, what I'm watching, what I'm kind of interested in, you know, without giving them too much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I started watching... the old stuff. I started off in 83 just to kind of see what I had missed, and you know, like, because I knew say I started watching WWF in maybe 85 once a lot of the guys left the AWA and went over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just kind of, you know, getting the backstory as to what happened from there, and then just sort of continuing on, you know, going through my childhood and watching stuff that I had seen already, but you know, trying to remember various angles and stuff like that.
Now, you are very much a fan of the older WWF, but you don't really watch the current WWE.
That's correct.
Why?
To be honest with you, I found that when the shows would open up and it's half an hour, 45 minutes of talking, I would just end up falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was less wrestling, more talking. I wasn't into... people putting, you know, dumping cement into Corvettes, and just some of the things that would go on. It was just sort of like outside, you know, any sort of realism.
Well, in that sense, does it? I know this upsets me. Does this upset you when there's wrestling, two guys or a tag team or whatever in the ring? And then just the exact stuff that you're talking about, people pouring cement into the thing, spraying mm-hmm. people, and people are like, oh, that's wrestling. That kind of ticks me off because that's not really wrestling.
No, it's not.
Yet, it's because the WWE keeps forcing that out there, everyone just accepts that all this ridiculousness is wrestling. And to me, I feel it kind of it degrades what wrestling is.
Absolutely.
And... I know there's a lot of guys that'll say, well, you know what, I would be that guy in a second if they were paying me that much money. And I don't know, it's just, there just seems to be this kind of lately it seems in wrestling for me, and I wanted to ask you about this, because you've been wrestling a long time on the indie circuit. Do you love wrestling?
I do, absolutely.
Now, do you love the actual being in there and doing the work, doing the moves, doing the things?
Yep. I do.
Okay. And then there's just so many wrestlers lately who tell me, well, the whole point of wrestling is to make it to the WWE and make money. And
those people, they don't love wrestling. They love WWE.
That's what I don't know why so many wrestlers, you know, I hear this from is, well, you know what? once you get to the big times, you can sit back and you know, you don't have to work hard. You don't do those things anymore. And I don't know if that makes me an idiot, but I just love the actual wrestling, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, when I go and see Mentolo wrestling somebody, I want to see you doing your moves. I don't want to see you driving out in a Corvette and a thousand firecrackers going off and laser lights and girls in bikinis doing backflips to the stage. None of that gives a crap to me. I mean, I really don't care.
You're absolutely correct. And you know what, though? Like, in the 80s and 90s and, you know, even probably the 70s, like, wrestlers fought over realistic things. Like, you would never see, say, in the UFC, Ken Shamrock, take the title and destroy it and throw it over a cliff and, you know, throw someone else over a cliff. Like, you wouldn't see those things because, you know, there'd be lawsuits and stuff like that. But say Hulk Hogan not able to get to the phone because he's under the squat rack and Paul Orndorff being upset is more realistic. It's easier to believe, you know?
Well, are titles important anymore?
Not in WWE because, you know, I was just thinking about this earlier. They were talking about how Bob Backlund had a 7-year title reign and, you know, Hulk Hogan had 3 years or whatever the case is. And now the belts, they flip all the time.
Right. Well, you know,
they've very much lost their value.
Well, because, you know, when you look at stuff like, I remember, you know, in the 90s and seeing Ric Flair, and he was the 7-time world champion, or 8-time or something, and that was pretty impressive. But then you've got guys like, okay, we've got John Cena's held the belt 14 times, Triple H has held the belt 16 times, you know, like all these ridiculous numbers, and then I look back and I go, wait a second, John Cena has only been in the top of his game for the last 13 years, but he's a 14-time champion. So that means he's lost how many times? You know what I mean? Like,
you betcha.
It to me, all of a sudden, it just makes it seem like a joke.
You betcha.
You know, it doesn't seem like these titles mean that much anymore.
And you know what, though? Like, say, for instance, how can one say, okay, well, John Cena's a better champion because he held it, let's say, 14 times, when, let's compare him to Hogan or Bruno or Bob Backlund. These guys are wrestling probably pretty much a similar schedule, right? They're probably on, and they may be even on the road even more, defending the title and not losing it.
Exactly.
So I don't understand how people can be like, oh well, the Dudley Boys, you know, because they've held it however many times, you know, that makes them better champions than, you know, I don't know, the Road Warriors or something like that. Like, I don't know, the numbers don't match up for me.
Well, I always remember being a young guy, and I wish I could remember who had said it, but I remember a villain in wrestling one time being out there, and the guy was talking about how he was, the one guy was saying how he was, you know, like the 4-time champion.
Mm-hmm.
And the villain is reminding him, well, that means you've lost it 3 times, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And I don't understand why that mentality isn't still there, because that is, I guess, I want a little realism. Is it too much to ask for realism in wrestling, mental?
Well, I don't think it should be. I don't think it should be. I mean, when you go to, that's sort of what sets movies apart, you know, like, is the realism to some of them. You know, obviously we're not talking about Star Wars or whatever, but, you know, you go to watch a movie about, say, Mississippi Burning, it's the facts and the history and stuff that sets it apart.
Right. Well, you know what, sorry, I guess we got off on a bit of a tangent there talking about the craziness of wrestling, but I guess I wanted to ask that question because as long as I've known you, you've always come across to me as a guy who really has a passion for wrestling itself.
Well, let me say this. So I've said this to some of the other guys where, like you were saying, guys are like, oh, well, it's WWE or bust. And to me, that says that you don't love wrestling. You only love WWE. It's, like, I watch a lot of WWF, but also I watch a lot of New Japan, a lot of All Japan. I watch stuff from Puerto Rico. I watch stuff from Europe. I watch stuff from Mexico, you know, because I love wrestling. I don't just love, you know, WWF. And I think a lot of people will say stuff like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to watch Lucha Libre because, A, I don't understand what the announcers are saying, or B, like, I don't get it, or I don't watch Japanese wrestling because I don't understand what they're saying. Like, those things are very much irrelevant. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'll watch kung fu movies regardless if I know what they're saying or not, you know, because I enjoy the action. So if you really loved wrestling, you would watch wrestling from wherever and take something from it. Especially if you are a wrestler, like, you should have no issues about watching wrestling from wherever it's from.
Very much true. Well said, well said. Now, today in wrestling, you've been traveling a lot across Canada. What do you see the state of indie wrestling these days, in Canada at least, in Western Canada?
Well, to be honest with you, it's kind of tough. Like, to me, it seems like the business isn't in the greatest state right now. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of guys who take it upon themselves to expose all of wrestling secrets in order to, you know, maybe gain popularity with fans or girls. You know, I tell guys, I said, you know, when you go to the movies, you don't have Robert Downey Jr. sitting beside you saying, like, oh, hey, this is how we do this, and, you know, oh, did you see that car explode? Well, that was just a green screen. Like, people don't want to let fans enjoy it for what it is. They want to be the ones to expose it to them, and you know, hopefully the fan will think that they have so much knowledge by exposing these things to them. Mm-hmm. And really, you're just sinking your own ship.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, in the current, in Western Canada, you've seen a lot of, you've wrestled a lot of guys, and you've seen a lot of guys. Is there some guys that really stick out in your mind right now, or like, that's a really interesting talent, or that's a guy up and coming, or that's a guy who's right there now?
I think some of the up and, like, I think that Regina really has a lot of guys who are up and coming talents, like, mm-hmm. Alexander Prime, his brother Sean Moore, Michael Allen, Richard Clark, Mike McSugar, Jacob Creed. I think all these guys have a lot of upside to them if they can, you know, get out of Regina.
Mm-hmm.
I really think there's a lot of upside for them.
Is there any guys you see right now in the indies that are like, this guy is just about ready to go to the big time?
I think that Alexander Prime could do well if he was in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
If he can, you know, move up and move up the level of trainers and stuff like that, and, you know, get a little bit more experienced guys to kind of work with them. I think that he has definitely some of the best potential in Western Canada.
Okay. Is there anybody that you haven't had a chance to face yet in Western Canada that you'd really like to get in there with? Someone that you'd find an interesting good match?
Oh, wow. I don't really think so, because, you know what, I'm wrestling in the three provinces right now.
Mm-hmm. So you pretty much faced most of the guys.
Yeah, pretty much. I pretty much, you know, faced the best of what each province has to offer.
Who are currently the top guys who could run with Mentolo? Who are the guys who have been giving you the best matches this year?
You know, I really enjoyed wrestling with Andrew Hawks.
Mm.
And it's sort of a shame that
he's
been forced into retirement, because I think that, you know, we had good matches together, and, you know, they're very physical and we very much pushed each other. So Andrew Hawks would definitely be a guy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what, we've talked a lot about the kind of wrestling you like. I want to move into something that I know if people look at you close enough, they'll get the hint, but they might not know exactly. So we're gonna expose Mentolo a little bit here. First
okay.
of all, I know why this, in my head, I know exactly why you have this moniker. What is the Zombie Hunter all about?
That's a great question. So obviously, first of all, the Zombie Hunter is about, obviously, zombies and killing zombies. That's very much self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
But to kind of go deeper, the Zombie Hunter is very much about waking up people who are in a current state of sleep. Basically, you know, a conspiracy theorist sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a lot of things out there that, you know, people are being very ignorant to, very blind to, and it's very much about waking them up and sort of giving them the truth that's been hidden from them.
Okay. Now, you know what, fans, this man loves wrestling, but there is something else that if you also look at sometimes the way he dresses, or even his entrance music, that there is something else that Mentolo really loves. And I'm thinking video gaming.
Yeah, I am. I am into video games. I am into cartoons.
And are we talking like anime, or are we talking regular cartoons? What kind of cartoons are you digging?
I am into some anime. I'm into a lot of like Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, or Justice League. A lot of the old Marvel cartoons I watch, like Fantastic Four, some of the old Spider-Mans from like the 70s and the 80s, Spider-Man, His Amazing Friends, Incredible Hulk.
Okay, and you know what, throw a little bit, what anime titles are you digging the most?
The one I'm into the most is called Hajime no Ippo, and it's one about boxing.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I notice you have a lot of costumes that you wear to the ring.
Right.
Inspired by a lot of things. Obviously, you're a very big fan of Resident Evil.
Yes. Yeah, I play the first two games, and obviously it's very much zombie-based, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm a big fan of, like, you know, I watched The Walking Dead. I was a big fan of Dawn of the Dead, the original and the remake, and Night of the Living Dead, the original and the remake, Return of the Living Dead, so I'm a big fan of zombie movies.
Now, here's an off question for you. Mm-hmm. Did you see Resident Evil? The first one.
The first movie?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Now, did you, like me, at the end of the movie go, where the hell are all the characters? What's going on here?
Yeah, didn't like it. Didn't like it. That's why I didn't watch any of the other ones.
You know, I watched it. I was so hyped because I had been playing the games.
Mm-hmm.
And then this came out and it was like, so it shares an origin and that's it.
Exactly.
But I gotta say, Resident Evil 2, it made up for it all by having all those characters in it from the games. So
I gotta say, like, too, like they're making the girl like being able to run up the wall and
throw
kicks.
Yeah, but it was such a video game, wasn't it?
Thing, yeah, you can't do it. Like, that's not part of the video game. Like, just you have something that's winning. You don't need to change the formula. You know?
Yeah, I get it, but sorry about that. I just had to throw that out there.
I was hoping to see like Chris and Jill and Barry. Where's Barry? You know, I was kind of hoping to see those type of things.
Well, you know,
and Wesker and stuff, but I don't know.
They bring those people. If you've never seen the other ones, they finally bring some of them in later.
Oh, okay.
Wesker's in like the last three of them, and Jill Valentine's. Well, she was in the first one, I believe, but very small role. But yeah, she comes in later and plays a way bigger role as the thing goes on. But anyways, let's get back to wrestling. Just sorry, it's so fun to talk Resident Evil because I don't know. I have a lot of friends who actually watch it, so it's nice
Absolutely.
To get opinions.
Now, you know, there was like a CGI, or no, yeah, maybe CGI Resident Evil that came out a couple of years ago that was pretty good.
Yes, with Leon and Claire in it.
Yeah, did they make any more? Or was that the only one?
That is the only one so far, I believe. I just bought that a little while
really
ago.
Good.
I'm glad you brought that up because I just bought that a little while ago.
Yeah, it's really good. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. So, video games, comic books. Are you into comic books?
You know what? In the 90s, I was collecting a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then comic books became a little bit too expensive. You know, it's sort of like I collect a lot of wrestling figures too, or at mm-hmm. least I used to. But then when they start making like so many different lines and exclusives, like it just becomes way too expensive.
Yeah, that is true. Now, are you a collector? Like, do you collect things?
I do. Well, especially like wrestling figures, I used to collect a lot.
So you must have like an office or something full of junk.
You know what I do? So I keep them in the package, but then mm-hmm. I will tack them up on my walls to kind of utilize space.
Okay. That's because I'm curious. I'm like sitting in my office, and it's like, you know, it's full of like wrestling and comic books and figures and stuff. Paint me a picture of what Mentolo's office is like.
Well, all the walls are filled with wrestling figures. And like I used to collect like the Simpson figures and I had some of the environments and stuff like that. So some of those are on the wall. And like I have a lot of the old LJN figures.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a lot of the classic ones. I got the ECW, I have some TNA, I have a lot of the old ECW figures, so pretty much those things cover my walls.
Wow. So, definitely a collector.
Absolutely.
Definitely likes the video games and definitely watches some cool TV.
You betcha.
What else does Mentolo do on his time off?
You know what, like, just if I'm not in the gym, you know, watching wrestling, that's pretty much it.
Now, you know what, your style of wrestling is a pretty interesting because I don't see too many people that I could actually compare it to, especially in Western Canada.
No, yeah, it's very much like a fusion of, they used to call it Lucha Wrestling, mm-hmm. which was just like a fusion of Lucha and pro wrestling. Japanese style.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that a lot to work out to that style? Is it very much different? Like, is it tougher or is it just its own thing?
It's really its own thing, but you kind of have to make yourself knowledgeable of it. Mm-hmm. Like it's not something you can go to just for instance Landstorm School and learn. Like you really have to seek it out yourself.
Now, do you actually have people you can spar with this, or do you just have to sort of practice on your own and then get into the ring and do it?
Well, you know, like, when I went to Mexico, and I trained down there for a while, so there was a lot of guys that you can do it with, because obviously you're all training in the same style. But up here, you know, it's very much North American-based, or, you know, everyone sort of has, like, let's say a lot of the Landstorm guys, they all train with Landstorm, so they all do, you know, you're going to do what your trainer teaches you, right? There's not going to be a lot of out-of-the-box kind of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit tougher up here.
Now, you know what? You've had this tremendous year in RCW. And the thing is, you had this great year, and yet it doesn't seem you got as many accolades as you should have gotten. What are you going to do this year? Are you going to figure a way to top that? What do you got to do this year to make Mentolo stand out?
Yeah, oh, that's a great question. I'm definitely going to have to change something up because, I don't know, I listened to some of those other podcasts, and, you know, I thought Davey Richards and I had a pretty good match, and it very much got overlooked.
I thought you had a great match, to be honest.
Year, and I wasn't very impressed with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like, you know, maybe because I haven't been wrestling in Alberta as long, like the Alberta fans didn't really give it a fair shake, and even those guys on the podcast, they didn't really give it a fair shake. You know, I don't know, maybe if they didn't see it or what. And like Bobby Sharp and Davey Richards had a pretty good match too, but I don't know that it was better than my match with Davey. I don't know. Maybe it was. I don't know.
I can honestly say that I went to both matches. And I watched them analytically. I wasn't picking, like, oh, this is some guy I like more. And you know what? Bobby Sharp and I have been friends for 10 years, and I've known him great. And he put on a tremendous match, but I got to say that I really kind of enjoyed your guys' match a little more.
Absolutely.
It was just a little more exciting for me. And just because of your style just meshed really well that night with Davey.
Absolutely. You know?
And it was a little bit smoother in different ways. And I found it, the reason why it saddened me that, you know, like when they had those polls, people were putting out the polls of what the matches of the year was. I voted for your match of the year only because of the fact is it was a very standout different match than anything I'd seen during the year. There were some good matches, but let's face it, as much wrestling as I watch and as much times as I get there, I can appreciate a great match, but every great match, there's probably about 15 to 20 matches that are pretty much the same match.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way things work. The reason yours stood out is because of the different style you use is just not something that a lot of people use.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I'm not sure lately if that confuses fans in Western Canada. If it, you know, some people may not like stepping out of the norm and maybe that, you know, throws them off a bit. I'm not sure why, in my mind, I can't understand why Mentolo isn't, you know, like this giant draw for everybody in Alberta who's seen you, because, you know, you put out the stuff, and I'm not sure what the disconnect is, you know?
I kind of get the impression sometimes that the Alberta fans are, like, comfortable with people they've known and seen for, like, so many years, mm-hmm. that they're almost not willing to give newcomers a chance, or at least myself
I think one thing that's made it hard for you is the fact not only do you wear a mask, but you're not generally one of those guys who ever comes out and signs autographs and hangs out at the tables, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've noticed in Alberta, and I got to admit, you know, when I first started going to Indy, I was guilty of this too, is there is that instant, what's the word? There's this instant loyalty you get when a wrestler talks to you directly outside of the ring somewhere.
Absolutely.
You know? My greatest example is, you know, like, the first wrestler, like, the first indie wrestler that I met and came over and talked to me, to this day, he's still one of my favorite wrestlers, and that started right there. And that was with Marky from the PWA.
And, absolutely,
I get that, and sometimes I'm wondering, maybe that's something you might want to consider sometime, is maybe doing a few autograph sessions. Maybe... Maybe throwing a little more out there. So I'm hoping that fans are going to listen today and go, you know what? This guy's into video games. This is the kind of stuff I like, too. That makes you that much more interesting, you know?
Well, you know what, though, Thomas? Like, imagine you've been to a WWE live event, right?
Yes.
So, I don't know about you, but whenever I've been to a live event,
mm-hmm.
I've never, you know, gone to the bathroom and hung out with Chris Jericho or, you know, been in line for popcorn and Kane is standing there. And you know, like, there's a separation between wrestlers and fans.
Right.
And I think that a lot of guys, like how I was saying before, you know, mm-hmm. they want to expose things. They want the fans to see them and, you know that they're wrestlers and maybe buy them a drink and... You know, there needs to be a more solid line between fans and wrestlers.
I get that. But on the flip side, Chris Jericho and all those other guys have TV time and backstage things, and this is what, you know, they have
absolutely.
All these things thrown out there so fans get, maybe it's not them,
but that's true, yeah.
their character is portrayed in a way that you feel like you know that person.
Exactly.
So, who knows? You know what? I'm not saying, you know, I definitely don't want to see Mentolo hanging out at the bar, you know, take a picture with my mask on sort of deal. But I'm just trying to find, in Alberta at least, how can I find a more connection to you and the fans? And if any fans out there, you know, you listen to this all the time, and a lot of people have asked me to have Mentolo on for a while because there are many fans who said, you know, I've seen this guy, I really enjoy his work, I wish I could... you know, pull behind him more, but I just don't feel like I know him enough. So I'm hoping,
right.
I'm hoping after today that your fans hear this, that they'll be like, oh, okay, you know what? I'm getting a better idea.
You know, it's kind of funny too, because a lot of the fans will boo me, and then I'll get back home from Alberta and I'll have, you know, about 5 new friend requests from
the guys booing you.
So it's kind of funny.
Wrestling fans are a very weird bunch.
They're like, I don't want to cheer you, but I definitely want to be your friend on Facebook.
Yeah, no, boo-boo, I hate you. Hey, buddy.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Now, you know what? If I'm a wrestling promoter and I've been listening to this, and I think this Mentolo guy sounds pretty interesting, I want to book him on a show, how do you go about doing that?
Well, they can reach me through Facebook, Cali Mentolo, K-A-L-I. Mentolo, M-E-N-T-A-L-L-O. My fan page is Mentolo Canada, so either one of those I definitely respond to. My email address, mentolowrestling, M-E-N-T-A-L-O, wrestling at hotmail.com. Any of those avenues are perfect.
Excellent. And so fans can get a hold of you and talk to you through your Facebook page, your fan page. And
absolutely.
You know what, fans? I get a chance, you know, almost monthly to talk to Mentolo. So anybody who's been listening to today's podcast who wonders, you know, maybe there was a question I missed that they're curious about him, by all means, send it in to Edmonton Sports Podcast Network or from the second row. We'll take a look at those questions. I will ask Mentolo himself, and I'll get back somehow. I'll get it out there. So, Mentolo, thanks a lot for coming on today's show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Anything else you want to throw out there?
No, just, you know, I want to thank fans for continuing to support indie wrestling. And, you know, obviously, you know, it's not like WWE where, you know, it's a huge business. Like, we really, rely on the fans for their support. So, you know, it's very much appreciated, and, you know, if they can bring more friends out so things can continue to grow, that'd be great.
All right. Well, folks, there you have it. Your current Commonwealth RCW Heavyweight Champion, Mentolo. Thanks, Mentolo.
Thank you.
This has been Wrestling Now with the legend T. James Logan. For more information on Wrestling Now, as well as all the other programming on the network, please check out the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, WordPress, or edmontonspn.podbean.com.